I speak this morning in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. We walk around, we human beings, we walk around every day with an extraordinary number of words running through our heads. An incredible number of thoughts. Some psychologists say about 12,000 thoughts per day. Others say it's more like 50,000. For me, it probably depends a lot on what day of the week it is. But however you count it, that's a lot of thoughts. That's a lot of words going through our minds, day in, day out, every moment. And that's worth thinking about, because the words that we carry around inside us shape the way we live in the world. The words we think shape the way we live. Let me tell you a story about that. A radical illustration of that. One which I'm told has its source in an actual event. In fact, I think this story has probably happened many, many times. But the version of this story that I heard comes from the Franco-Prussian War between the French and the Germans. A bitter conflict from 1870. One of the first truly modern wars, where terrifying and terrorizing ordinary citizens was as much of a tactic as killing enemy soldiers. In this horrible war, there was a very young French officer who was leading a patrol of his men. His men were much older, much more experienced, and much more battle-hardened than he was. They and their families had suffered terribly in the bitter conflict. Their orders were to go to a village to check and make sure that the German soldiers who had been there were really gone. Near the end of their patrol, they turned down a path and entered a small yard enclosed by a stone wall. And there, to everybody's surprise, they came upon three enemy soldiers, clearly lost and left behind and frightened. There was no way for them to fight or to escape. So the Prussian soldiers dropped their rifles and put up their hands in surrender. And the young officer ordered his men to take them prisoner. But the old veterans wanted no part in any of that. They'd fought too long, they'd suffered too much. They didn't want prisoners. They wanted revenge. The young officer was in real danger of losing control of his men, losing control of the situation. He was in real danger of being shot himself if he stood in their way. And the more he ordered and threatened, the angrier his men became. Finally, he came to a decision. He said to his soldiers, "All right, you may do what you will to these prisoners and to me, but first you must obey one order." And his men agreed. Then the young officer said, "I order you to say the Lord's Prayer with me." And the old soldiers swore and rolled their eyes, but when their officer prayed, they joined in. And they began to look down and shuffle their feet. "At thy kingdom come, thy will be done One old soldier lowered his rifle, and a couple others followed. When they got to the words, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us," when they got to those words, the German soldiers were praying with them in German. And one old campaigner was actually fighting back tears. And all these tough, hardened soldiers lowered their weapons, and without another word, they gathered up their prisoners and they marched them back to their camp in silence. And no one got shot that day. The words we have in here drastically affect the way we live out there. The words we think shape the way we live. And that makes it so crucially important that we be aware of the words that we're carrying around now in our hearts and minds. That makes it crucially important for us to choose those words with care. That's why it's so crucially important for us to embrace good words to hold in our hearts. And that is why Christian disciples in every age, in every generation, from the apostles right down to us, have embraced and cherished and memorized and repeated in every imaginable circumstance, in happiness and in sadness, at the birth of a child and the death of a parent, in war and in peace, in trouble and in joy, repeated the words, the simple, straightforward words that Jesus teaches his disciples and us in the gospel today. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Words that change us. It might strike us as surprising that Jesus gave his disciples memory work, but he did. He gave them actual words to pray. When you pray, say this. And you know what? The disciples needed those words from Jesus, and so do we. We need those words because the words we come up with on our own are often simply not good enough. We need these words from Jesus because when we choose words for ourselves, it's all too easy for other unhealthy, unhelpful words to start creeping in here and into here. Think of the words that we're immersed in the world out there. Think of the words that the world is trying so hard to give us, even right now. Think of the words that come from the world often. Words of suspicion and envy and mistrust and fear and conflict and intolerance. Sometimes we seem surrounded by a sea of those words. Left on our own, we might come up with words supplied by our own psyches. Words of self-centeredness. Words of ego and indifference to others. Words of intolerance, or maybe I think the worst ones of all, words of self-pity. Or maybe you're like me and there are words floating around inside you. Words that come from our own anxiety and fear. Corrosive little words that creep into our hearts, sometimes without us even noticing that they've gotten in there. Words that tell us we've never really measured up. Words of self-judgment, telling us we might not be as loved as we think we are. And when we judge ourselves so harshly, when we let those words have sway in our hearts and minds, it's easy to be just as merciless with the people all around us. Because the words that we carry in our hearts shape the way we act in the world. And that's why we need to gather here together. That's why we need the words of Jesus, and that's why we need to hear them over and over and over again to get replenished, to counteract the words that come at us from other places and other sources. That's why we're here week by week, month by month, year by year, to refill ourselves again and again with better words, with Jesus' words. Words that if we let them have the power to hold at bay all that other stuff. Words that remind us over and over of a God who's Father of all. Words that remind us of a kingdom that is coming, where His loving will reigns supreme. Words that get us out of ourselves for a little while. Words that remind us we're involved in God's kingdom, but we're not in charge of God's kingdom, and that's good. Words that counteract those words of self-judgment. Words that remind us that we are, and always will be, God's beloved, flawed, but forgiven children. We need those words. Now, young Jack Welch, young John Norval Ellsworth Welch the Fifth. Now, there's a name you can do business with, folks. Young Jack Welch, right up here, is about to be immersed in the waters of baptism. And he's also, from this day onwards, going to be immersed in a new world. A new world of words. Words that will change him and guide him. Words of Christian faith, like Our Father. Words of Christian worship, like Holy is Your Name. Words of Christian living. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jack's going to be surrounded by these words, and it's our job to make sure of that. Those words will shape the path of this little boy through the rest of his life in this world and onwards. And those words are some of the most important gifts that Lizzie and John and all of us can give to Jack. The words we carry in our hearts shape our path in the world. The words we think shape the way we live. Choose your words wisely. In Jesus' name, Amen.